Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, and today we're taking a look at the minor prophets of the Old Testament and asking God to speak to us through His Word. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 23 of the Minor Prophets. We're continuing our study of Micah, and today's devotion is titled, The Cost of Coveting. Mark Twain once wrote, "There is no such thing as material covetousness. All covetousness is spiritual. Any so-called material thing that you want is merely a symbol. You want it not for itself, but because it will content your spirit for the moment." Our text for today is from Micah chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. "Woe to those who devise wickedness and work evil on their beds. When the morning dawns, they perform it, because it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields and seize them, and houses, and take them away. They oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster from which you cannot remove your necks, and you shall not walk haughtily in it, for it will be a time of disaster. In that day they shall take up a taunt song against you and moan bitterly and say, we are utterly ruined. He changes the portion of my people, how he removes it from me. To an apostate he allots our fields. Therefore, you will have none to cast the line by lot in the assembly of the Lord. Do not preach. Thus they preach. One should not preach of such things. Disgrace will not overtake us. Should this be said, O house of Jacob? Has the Lord grown impatient? Are these his deeds? Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly? But lately, my people have risen up as an enemy. You strip the rich robe from those who pass by, trustingly, with no thought of war. The women of my people you drive out from their delightful houses. From their young children you take away my splendor forever. Arise and go, for this is no place to rest, because of uncleanness that destroys with a grievous destruction. If a man should go about and utter wind and lies, saying, I will preach to you of wine and strong drink, he would be the preacher for this people. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will gather the remnant of Israel. I will set them together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in its pasture, a noisy multitude of men. He who opens the breach goes up before them. They break through and pass the gate, going out by it. Their king passes on before them, the Lord at their head." Chapter 2 of Micah is an argument between the prophet and the people of Israel. They accuse Micah of being a false prophet. So Micah shares the truth of their injustice. This chapter can be divided into three major sections. Now first, Micah denounces the sin of covetousness and pronounces divine judgment in verses 1 through 5. In Micah 2, verses 6 through 11, he confronts the false prophets for their injustice. Finally, Micah concludes with a promise of God's deliverance and restoration for a remnant of Israel. That's in verses 12 and 13. In this chapter, Micah deals with the significant sin of covetousness. The greed of God's people led to their oppression of others. In their desire to acquire more for themselves, they stole land and inheritance from those who couldn't protect themselves. Their domination of others would lead to their own oppression. In the same way they had confined those who were helpless, God's judgment would trap them so severely that they could not remove their necks. That's from chapter 2, verse 3. Micah moves from confronting covetousness to battling false prophets. When pretenders don't like what is preached, They tend to accuse others in an attempt to take the heat off of themselves. Warren Wiersbe explains the false prophet's accusations toward Micah. Just as the false prophets attacked Jeremiah in chapter 5, verse 31, and Amos in chapter 7, verses 10 through 17, for preaching God's truth, so the false prophets attacked Micah for faithfully declaring the message of God. These men espoused a shallow theology that had no place for either sin or repentance. We are God's special people, they argued, and He would never permit these judgments to happen in the land. As long as the people participated in religious services, they would not incur the wrath of God, even if their hearts were not in their worship. The Jews were Abraham's children, and God would never break the promises He made to Abraham. Such were their false premises. What these counterfeit religious leaders forgot was that God's covenants involve precepts as well as promises, obligations as well as blessings. Merely going through the motions of religion isn't the same as worshiping God in spirit and truth. Anybody can join the crowd and be a part of some popular religious movement, but it takes devotion, prayer, obedience, and submission to worship God with reverence and godly fear. You can look at Hebrews 12:28 on that one. Popular religion is usually false religion, for the road to life is narrow and lonely. See Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 20. And those who walk it are invariably persecuted. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. After all this language about destruction and judgment, Micah chapter 2 concludes with a hope for a remnant of Israel. That's in verse 12. While Micah is faithful to expose sin and pronounce judgment, he also encourages those who hear his message and turn back to God. If they confess their sins and forsake them, God will lead them to a place of restoration as a shepherd leads his sheep. You can see Micah chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. God is in the business of restoring his people. Anytime we step toward God in repentance, we are one step closer to His restoration. Some questions to consider. In what ways are you tempted to covet? How does the sin of coveting lead to additional sins? And finally, how do the last two verses of Micah chapter 2 display the character of God? In what ways does it bring you hope? Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.